Brother Terrence comes to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus on earth alone.
See, want to hear this morning with us? We got no requests. I thank the Lord for that. I know there's needs out there, but I love it when we don't have a request because that means everything's answered. But just remember, I know we all have unspoken requests that we want the Lord to take care of. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning, Lord. Lord, be with ones that are traveling. We know of people traveling. Bless them, be with them, and guide them. Lord, thank you for your many blessings you've given us this past week. Lord, be with the ones that are sick, Lord, sin sick. Lord, you know the needs in those situations. Be with our brothers and sisters here, Lord. Remember Brother Al and Brother Dick and Brother Kylie and Brother Darty and Sister Johnny and Sister Jean, Lord. Just remember them and bless them. Bless the other ones, all the unspoken requests. Just be with them. Be with Dad this morning also. Forgive us for all of our sins, and we love you for your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
Only we believe. Only believe. Only believe. For all things are possible.
time. Amen. Brother Mark, would you come this morning and lift up the tithes and offering?
Brother Sam, as he's studying now, Father God, give him strength, Father.
Yes.
Bring the message, bring us all strength to receive what we ask in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Let's sing that chorus, In the Presence of Jehovah, Micah C. Let's go ahead and all stand, and we'll ask Brother Colin if you can make your way up here for the responsive reading this morning.
In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, He's the Prince of Peace. Troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. We thank Him to be able to come together. Just pray that we come with our hearts surrendered to receive the words that will come forth, and just ask God to bless us and give us strength. We're going to read Psalm 17 this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are ever grateful and thankful for all that you have given unto us, for the strength, the knowledge. Lord, we thank you. We ask you to bless us and that we may always have love for your word and for your bride. Lord, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, Lord, we pray that you be in our heart to lead and guide us. Lord, we have no battles to fight. Lord, but you are in charge and lift us up and give us the strength that we have need of. Father, we ask you to bless everyone in the building, Lord, touch them. Lord, if there's anything in their hearts that shouldn't be, Father, we pray that you would remove it. God, for we love you and we know that you love us, and just give us strength always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 17. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of frayed lips.
Let my sinners come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are evil.
Thou hast proven mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am proposed that my mouth shall not transgress.
Concerning the works of men, by the words of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer.
Hold up my going in my path, that my footsteps slip not.
I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, God, O God.
Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that saveth by thy right hand, which put thy trust in thee from the rising up against them.
Keep me as the apple of thy eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings.
From the wicked that oppress me, from the deadly enemies who compass me about.
They are enclosed in their own fat, with their
They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth.
Like as the lion that is free of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in his places.
Arise, O Lord, disappoint him that casts him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword.
From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from the men of the world, which I have ordained to be this life, and you shall be filled with thy hidden treasure. They are full of children, and they
will
rest their
substance
to their babes.
As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with my likeness. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Amen. Thou hast proved my heart and visited me in the night. Sure, every Christian has had those experiences when the Lord just comes to you in the middle of the night. Many times you don't know why you can't sleep, and you get up and you just start praying. You start reading the Word, and He just comes on the scene. There have been many times that's happened to me, where some of the greatest revelations I've had is just by myself, just there with the Lord. Amen. Let's sing that song, I'll Stand for Jesus. It's in the key of C. As the Sunday school class is coming, we're going to cut this song service a little short this morning once everyone gets up here, so Brother Dale will have a little more time.
I'll stand for Jesus. Let the world go by. And I'll claim His promise. Oh, He will supply. World filled with pleasure.
creatures, we're tempted and tried. The more that we have here, the less we're satisfied. And the only thing that's lasting comes from on high. So I'll stand for Jesus and let this world go by. And I'll stand for Jesus, let this world go by. And I'll claim His promise, He will supply. And we'll walk together, my Lord and I. And I'll stand for Jesus, let this world go by.
Amen. Let's sing that song. I just want to thank you, Lord, in the key of F.
And I just want to thank you, Lord, for letting me hear your word. What have I done to deserve such glory revealed to me? Thanks for that special night when I saw your glorious light. Come face to face with eternal life, Lord, I thank thee. You didn't have to open my eyes, you could easily pass me by.
Eternal life, Lord, just lift our hands and thank Him. Oh Lord, I just want to thank You, Lord, for letting me hear Your word. What have I done to deserve such glory revealed to me? Thanks for that special night when I saw Your glorious light, come face to face with eternal life, Lord, I thank Thee.
Always remember what Brother Dale said. When God just opens up the Word and that revelation, start claiming your family. Start claiming all those things in your life. Start thanking Him for the things that you don't have and watch it come to pass. Amen. Let's change the order of the service as our brother comes out this morning. Everybody happy in the Lord this morning? Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You. Oh, I want to see You. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes. I want to see.
See Him, don't you? Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. It's good to see everybody here this morning. We're glad to have our brother and his family back there with us. Of course, they're not visitors. They were here yesterday. So as we always say, if you come one time, you're just part of us. So they're part of us today because they're back with us. We appreciate them coming up and fellowshipping with us and having a good time. So if you'd like to turn in your scripture, turn where we've been reading, Matthew 24. And we'll start reading about 22, 23 to read this. If we had him to bring out a little early, if we can, we'll try to get to see if there can be any questions anybody would have. So, you know, we can try to cover that a little bit, and we'll just call it questions and answers. And what I've done now, I ran off a good many copies this morning of basically all of the quotes that I've been using from the prophet. So Terrence is passing them out. If you want one, just get one like to each family. And then that way we can, we can go back. If there's any extra, we'll have them to do with it. But that's, you know, had a real good time yesterday with the youth. And the last time, see, we didn't get to come. We came a little bit late, so we didn't get to see the events and the things. And we enjoyed it. It was real good. Brother Nathaniel done a good job ministering, giving a little testimony, and looking forward this afternoon to him ministering for us. And this afternoon will be the youth time, so they will be taking the services and doing the things and having it all like that. So remember that. Remember the evening service, Brother Nathaniel. Remember the fellowship meeting will be here on the third Saturday, and Brother, what's his name?
Aaron McGarrity.
Aaron McGarrity. I'm going to write that down somewhere. McGarry, and where I can remember it, all right? And that'll be the word that we can know that. Okay. Also, Wade will be ministering, Lord willing, Wednesday. Try to get him back into the line and getting things to going in the Lord, okay? Any other announcements?
The Valentine's banquet, the 15th of February.
15th of February will be our Valentine's banquet for the couples of the church. So remember that, you know, and we'll try to get everything together and all to do it, okay? All right. Father, we thank you for this day and your grace. We thank you for your love and your understanding of us. Thank you for you. And we just ask you, Lord, to help us to understand what the hour that we're living, what a wonderful opportunity to be able to enjoy the presence of your revealing of your word unto us. And we pray that you would just have your way, open our eyes of understanding, close our hearts to things that are not needful, and what the rest of the world does, the rest of everybody does, that's their business. Help us to just settle in to where we can be, have a personal revelation and a association with you, Lord, through the opening of your word. Forgive our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and guide us in thy love in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 24. Verse 23, remember how we brought this out? All the other is back prior to this time coming down from the building of the Mosque of Omar and on down to the Titus and said, and now coming down to our time here. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, we know Brother Branham said, frankly, to get the elect tied up, you'd have to cut it short. All right? Now, just remember one thing. If this day of the anointed ones and the things that we've been talking about is a deceiving part, remember one thing. The bride can't be deceived.
That's right.
All right. But you know what that means? Everybody else is.
Yes, that's right. Exactly right. Amen.
Is that sensible?
That's right.
If it's almost gets the elect, then everything else is deceived.
Yes, sir. Amen. That's right.
You know.
Amen.
So then anything outside of this message is deceived.
Amen.
All right. Now, because the only way we can know about the message is the prophet or the God bringing it to us. Okay. Now, that's sensible enough. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert. Go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. In other words, don't follow every little doctrine of whim, whams, and ideas and things. For as the lightning shineth, lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, our concern, we haven't dealt into this part. We'll go back to it. But you see, there is to be the coming of the Son of Man.
Amen.
That's the main part.
Right. Yes,
is the coming of the Son of Man.
Amen.
All right? Now, that's the thing. We had this last night in the questions and answers in the Bible study. And the questions ended up, which I hope we'll get to the end of. How do we know? Well, we're only going to know by the revealing of the Son of Man.
Right. Yes, sir. Amen.
The only way we're going to know the truth is by the revealing of the Son of Man.
Amen.
All right? Now, that'll stand. All right? For wheresoever the carcass is, the word, there will the eagles be gathered together.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. All right, I'll stick that in my Bible.
Even as a bookmark.
Yeah. I put a great big one right there. Okay. All right, like I said, last night we have questions and answers, you know, if any of you are interested in any time coming. And we don't have no set line to go by. We just come, and ever who has a question, we lay the question out, and we try to discuss that question as to what, you know, they're doing. All right, we got started last night, and we had one question. And we finished 2 hours talking on that one question because it wound up being exactly what we're talking about here. And I told you last night, I said, I will speak in the morning about these things because this is message number 6 that we've been talking on the anointed ones. All right. I believe that we're in the last days. I believe the prophet brought the message. And what did he say? Anointed ones, the end time. Thank God for the opening of the seals. Now, if you'll take my word and go do it, look over at the beginning. I'll give you the page in a minute. But you go over to the end of the book. Read about the last 20 pages of Anointed Ones. It's right down where we're living. All right? Right to the point of where we're living right now. Because that's the way it's supposed to be. All right? But talking about those things, we were discussing, you know, the Anointed Ones. And that's the one thing I want you to think about. There is not but one Christ. There's just one God. There's one Christ, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, he anoints many. Yes, because we're in the last days when it was promised that he'd pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Right? Now, we covered those things to show you that's right down here. Azusa Street was a fulfillment of him pouring out of his spirit upon all flesh. But that just keeps going now. It's going on now because he's pouring out that spirit upon all flesh. Now, all right? And in doing that, see, then there can't be many Christ. So we're going to have to take the one thing, and I believe that's the one point that most people are missing on the message, anointed ones. We want to have an anointing over here and an anointing over here. You know, we want to have one for the bride and one for the rest of the world. Well, that's no such thing. I want you to show me where the prophet says that. I want you to show me in Christ, in anything. Where he said, it's the same anointing. Amen. That's the mystery. Amen. The mystery is, if the anointing is the same. Amen. Yeah, but see, that's what we say. We think this is an anointing of the Holy Ghost. Come over here, but this is an anointing of the devil. No, no, no. And we'll go through this in a little bit and just read some of it to show you. Brother Branham says the same anointing that was on Moses was on Balaam. Ain't no difference now. But you see, the same anointing that you have right now is the same anointing that was back there that walked the shores of Galilee. Or else you got another anointing. Just trying to make some simple statements for our understanding. You say, do we need to understand this? All right, Brother Branham said in the Anointed Ones, the end time, that we would be able to understand whether or not that we are a cucklebur, you know, or excuse me, he uses the word briar or a thistle or whatever. And this only came out at the opening of, well, let me just get to that point and we'll just read it, okay? Let it be that away. Go ahead, pull up number one, brothers, and let's get started on just a little bit. I'll try to just run through some of these and run them off real quick if I can. But I ask you to please read Anointed Ones to End Time. Amen. And Brother Branham in Anointed Ones to End Time said a good message to study would be the God of this evil age. All right? Now, he said that. Amen. That it would be good to study that part of it because that's where he was covering it. Amen. All right? You go from about the anointed ones being in 65 at the beginning, 725, you know, beginning. And from then on, he's talking about anointed ones. until his crucifixion. He's talking about anointing ones in just about every message. Go back and study it and see. See, I try to give you something to make you interested in your own self of reading. It's not that the pastor has this or the preacher has this or the preachers are supposed to feed us. No. No. You're supposed to have your own experience. Now, the question was last night, how do we know whether we're anointed ones or not? Brother Branham tells us. He said it is only by the Word. Well, they got the Word and they got the Word and he's going to... See? You say the Baptist has got the Word. They only got part. Pentecost has got the Word. They only got part. That's what I said. One Christ. One message. One Christ. See, this message is the only one that's got the truth of all. There's not one outside of this. And that's what tears my heart out to think how these people can turn around then and say Brother Branham was so wrong. Come on. The doors of Lula are open for you out on the internet that's got your great revelations to come and show us. That ain't a challenge. That's just a straight fact. Come and show us. We're off. But now don't bring little silly things. You know. Don't bring that one gospel says there's two blind men, the other gospel says there's one blind man. Right. Now, don't be that narrow-minded.
That's right. Amen. Come
on. If you're going to come to talk about the Word, let's talk about the Word. Amen. I'm just serious. Amen. That's not arrogant or hateful. I'm serious. Right. It's time to say it. It's time to say back to the people out there.
Amen.
And let the people have a choice.
Amen.
See? The anointing that's on the bride is the anointing that's on the... Come on, can we quote it this way? And rain falls on the just and the unjust.
Amen.
It's the same rain for the bean, the corn, the cucumbers, the thing. It's the same rain. They ain't but one rain. They ain't but one Christ.
Amen.
I don't. If you don't like my words, I ain't, but they finally did put that in the dictionary. I reckon I quoted it so much till they put it in there, but now, all right, now listen. Seeing all of this accumulation of evidence that now that we now live in, I think it's a good thing to rehearse these things and draw them out since the seals has been opened and find out the truth of these things as God has been so loyal to us with his grace to show us these things. Now, I ask you, I said it, I ask you, go to the last 10 pages of the Anointed Ones to End Time and read it real careful. It's right down to where we're at now. He says the same thing, but he brings it down to his message and where it's at. All right. Now, so all right, thank God for the opening of the seals. These things were not understood. I'm saying to you, listen, the prophet didn't preach anointed ones until after the seals was broke.
Right.
He didn't preach marriage and divorce until after the seals was broke.
Amen.
There were certain things he didn't preach until after the seals was broke.
Amen.
Why? Because that was revealed in the seals.
Amen.
Everything was revealed in the seals.
Yes,
well, why do we don't want the seals? Why do, you know, what's the trouble? All right, go to the next one and we'll get these little points out of the way. Paragraph 70. Look what he says. The prophecy of Balaam is exactly right. Because he couldn't speak nothing else. That ties the whole Bible together. Even Balaam could not say nothing contrary. He told Balak, I'll go with you. You've offered me half of your kingdom. You can give me all of it. But I can't say nothing that God don't tell me. Now him, you call him a false prophet. See? That state in his life that he could not speak nothing different. Listen, if we claim to be anything, we ought to do something. Now look, I hope your feelings don't get hurt. And don't turn that off, them phones off, and don't get up and go out. Just sit still and let's see if it's the Holy Spirit won't reveal it to us and prove it to us. You say, brother, you say, but that just whatever you believe. In other words, you're saying just whatever you believe. He ain't saying that. Just sit still and listen. Ask God to open your heart. Then you'll find out whether you're a briar or a thistle or whatever you're standing, wherever you're standing. Now, this message, do we need to know anointed ones? How are you going to know whether you're a briar or a thistle or what you are? That's what he just said. Well, I know that I'm born again. How do you know? How do you know you're born again? I shouted, I cried, I spoke to every one of those things Satan can impersonate, and you know yourself the prophet said what I just made the statement. You can't depend on no fleshly things to be proof. You can only go to the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And the evidence of the Holy Ghost is what? Whether or not the Spirit in you agrees with the Word. That's the only thing we can go to. Yeah, but I know I'm born again. Praise God, I'm not trying to take away your experience. I'm trying to tell each one of us we need to have an experience with God. If we haven't had it, then that's what we need. And Brother Branham comes over to that. He brings that out in the message there. And what do we do? Well, I know I'm saved. It's like what I said back yonder when that guy said God was dead. Boy, they just put it in the paper. I know my God lived. I talked to him this morning. Come on. How many of them that put out on there, how many denominations put out great statements against that man? Well, how many of them had a new birth? Why did they turn the message down? If they turn the message down, it proves they don't have a new birth. Right? So you can holler all you want to. I talk to him. You know, I done this. That's great statements, but all that is just running your mouth. Where's the true evidence? Whether or not the Spirit in you agrees, plural, agrees, continues to agree, doesn't stop anywhere. You know, that never done away with Brother Branham, never done away with apples on a tree as proof it's an apple tree. Right? He never done away with any of them things that used to be of people's idea of what the Holy Ghost was. He believed in every one of them. He shouted, he spoke in tongues, he done all of those things. But he had one thing to connect it on, and he said the angel of the Lord corrected him in a dream. He told him it's whether or not the Spirit in you agrees with the Word. Huh? See, then there's one thing about it. You can't, then you ain't going to change what you, you ain't going to try to change what this man says. No, you're going to take what he says, okay? Listen. Now, getting to the point, you say, number three, someone might say to me, do you believe that that anointing on those people means that it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Yes, sir. The genuine Spirit of God upon a person, and yet they are false. Going down to the bottom, and what does he say? He says, that's thus saith the Lord. Now, you want to argue with it, thus saith the Lord. All right? So then, anointed ones, genuine anointed, only one Christ. So the same anointing has to be, it has to be the same on each individual. All right? The wheat. If you got your thing, go with it. Just turn over to number four and we'll start on here. Both the wheat and the weeds live by the same anointing from heaven, both of them rejoicing over it. That ought to be sensible. Same rain that brings up the beans brings up the weeds. But you know what? It brings up more weeds than it does beans. I plant a whole bag of beans, get a few. And I don't plant them other things. They get out there on their own. And there's more of them, right? But you see the point of what I'm getting at? Raise it on up to the bottom where we got it marked and save reading. Same garden, the same place, under the same spout. There come up wheat and there come up tares by the same thing. Notice the same anointing water. Anointing water brings forth the wheat, brings forth the weed. The same Holy Spirit that anoints the church, that gives them a desire to save souls, and gives them power to perform miracles, it falls on the unjust the same as the just. Okay? The very same Spirit. Now, you can't make it another way and understand Matthew 24:24. And he said, there shall rise false Christ. False anointed ones. Anointed with a genuine thing, but the false prophets of it, false teachers. He said he'd get down to the mark of the beast. Oh. But listen. The same anointing that anoints the church, he said, is the same anointing that anoints everything else. There's only one anointing. Yeah, but we got this anointing over here, and they got that anointing over there. Now show me where the prophet taught that. I'll accept it and be glad to tell who told it to me. But you can't find it. It's the same anointing. There's only one Holy Ghost. There's only one God. There's only one anointing. All right? So just remember that point. There's never been but one anointing. All right? Go ahead to number 5. Okay, we got it. That was number 6. Moses, a man sent from God with the word of God and on his journey, taking Israel into the promised land strictly with the commandment of God, he met another prophet, another anointed one that had a genuine anointing of the same Holy Spirit that was upon Moses. Amen. Are you going to say that the prophet's wrong? Well, I don't believe that. Then you're saying the prophet's wrong. Got any sense? Wake up. He's a prophet. The Holy Spirit was upon this man. His name was Balaam. We're all acquainted with him. Well, the very thing is the same thing. The things that the man said is still taking place. He spoke it, and it's in the Bible. About 2,800 years ago, thou art like a unicorn, O Israel. And there's more other things that he done. Okay? Now think about it. Same anointing. Go ahead. We're still in the anointed ones to end, huh? Paragraph 68. Balaam anointed with the same spirit that was upon Moses. What was the difference? Well, Balaam was false. Now, he's going to tell you what the difference is. So what we think the difference is don't mean nothing. It's what he says. That's the way I follow the prophet. I'm either going to follow him or I'm going to get out. No. Because I got enough sense to know I can't stay between. You're either in this message or you're out of the message. And what we do about the word will determine whether what we got. All right? Come on. Balaam anointed with the same spirit that was upon Moses. What was the difference? The teaching of Moses was perfect. And watch him. The Bible said here in 2 Peter that it was the teaching of Balaam that Israel received that God never did forgive. Unpardonable sin. The teaching is the difference. Amen. The teaching is the difference. Yep. The anointing is the same. Amen. Right? To understand Matthew 24:24, what do you got? Okay, go ahead, number 7. The vultures of Jesus' day was also casting out devils. I didn't say that. He did, okay? Anointed ones on the old carcass. Now, that's a pretty good statement, right? They were casting out devils, Jesus said. And remember, they had prophets in those days. Caiaphas the high priest prophesied. How many knows that? Caiaphas prophesied. Notice the position of the weed in the field. It's watered by the same anointing. Why did the Bible say he prophesied? Because he was high priest that year, a rotten scavenger, a weed and a thistle sitting among the wheat. But the Spirit was upon him. Caiaphas prophesied and said it was necessary that one die for the sins of the people because he was trying to stop an insurrection of taking place out in the natural. All right? So he's saying that it was necessary that one die for the sins of the people. He goes on and crucifies Jesus Christ. What are we going to do, church? Come on. But the Spirit was upon him, the genuine Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God was upon him to preach, prophesy, foretell it to come and come to pass, and denied and crucified the very vindicated word of the hour. Now, what are we doing? Hey, Brother Dale, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to prove one thing. There's not but one anointing. There's not an anointing for the genuine and an anointing for everything else. It's the same anointing. If you don't get nothing out of the message, study the message, bring it and show me that there's a two anointings. Show me there's two gods. It's the same anointing. Yeah, but I don't understand. You mean that that's the Holy Ghost on them out there? That your prophet said it was the Holy Ghost on Caiaphas, and Caiaphas is the one had Jesus killed. But yet the anointing of the Holy Ghost was the same. You say, well, I don't understand that. Well, listen, if you don't understand something, what do you do? Well, I don't know what to do. It sounds like this, and it sounds like that. I don't know what it is. Well, find somebody. Do something. It's too late. Yeah. Right. Well, how do we know? Because they're anointed too. You're saying they're anointed with the same anointing. Well, somewhere this thing has got to be settled.
Yeah. Right?
Amen. Right? Amen. They're falling away now by the thousands from the message because that's what the Bible said. That they must be a falling away. And they're falling away. But you know what? They had to be somewhere to fall. So they had to be up in the message, going with it, running with it. Now they've fallen. All right? But see, that's the greatest sign. That is the Bible being fulfilled. And why are we not then rejoicing? Not because that they're falling away. No, not rejoicing of that. But rejoicing that the Word of God is keeping us from falling.
Amen.
There ain't but one thing keeping me and you from falling.
Amen.
That's God Himself.
Amen.
Well, I just can't see how that anointing's the same on both of them. Do you believe Brother Branham was a prophet?
Amen.
Well, why don't you accept what he says?
Amen.
Well, I don't see now. You're saying he's wrong.
Yep.
When are we going to put everything we've got onto the prophet?
Right.
That's where the people of this message, the biggest percentage of them, ain't going to do it. They're scared. What do you think they're falling away now? Any little thing comes up and churches just fall away. How many of you was around in 1977 when it didn't take place and churches were falling away and sending their books back to Jeffersonville? Why? Because it didn't happen according to what they thought. Well, you know what? Evidently what was thought of back then must have been wrong.
Amen.
You know how I know it must have been wrong? Because we're here 2020. So what we thought of back there was wrong, had its wrong inlets or whatever coming through. But listen, I'm trying my best to get you to see one thing. You can't see anointed ones. And if you can't see anointed ones in the correct way, you can't see what you are or where you're at or whether or not you have the new birth. But can you understand it this way? The rain falls on the just and the unjust. It's the same rain that quickens the wheat, that quickens the briars. Same identical God doing it. Yeah, but you mean God's letting that happen? Yeah, that's what it says in the Bible. He said he sent these things among us to try us to see whether we'd fall. Right. Brother Brandon said that he would try the bride in the end time to see if she'd fall. Said she went where she wouldn't fall like Eve fell. Oh, but you can't get people to agree with the word. Take that one right there. Eve. Brother Branham said before Adam could come to Eve, she had fallen. He said before Jehovah could come to the Old Testament bride, she fell. He said before the bride could come to Jesus Christ in his fullness, they went to Nicaea and fell. But I've heard preachers right here that used to preach with me say, oh, but that wasn't the bride that went to Nicaea. Brother Branham said it was. He said the true church wound up at Nicaea. But see, they didn't believe that. They believed the false vine went to Nicaea. What'd the false vine have to go for? If that false vine, they're already deceived. But you see, that's where that when you stand, you're going to stand alone on what you believe in. You minister, brethren, you better consider that. Sometimes you're going to stand by yourself. Because God's going to try you to see what you'll do. He's going to put it out there in front of you to see what you're going to do. And look what they're doing now, falling right and left. Like I said to start with, if it's to the point that it would almost deceive the elect, everything else is already deceived. What about it? Look where we're staying. All right? Now let's get something, and then we'll pick it up and move over. All right? Bring up Luke 8. All right? They're supposed to have these on. Oh, it's not in what you got now. Pull up Luke 8. A simple little parable. One parable told in Luke, Mark, and Matthew. A parable. Let's see what it says. You got Luke 8. All right, go to 11, verse 11. Now, you know, he gave the parable and told what it was. Now, then they said, you know, this, what is this? And he said, well, this is the parable. The seed is the word of God. Yep. All right. Now, start it off. The seed is the word of God. Amen. We ain't talking about sowing beans and corn. Yes, sir. Everybody think, boy, ain't it something that Brother Branham told us that when you plant corn, you're going to get corn. Said, we thought when you plant corn, you're going to get beans. You say, that's stupid, Brother Dale. That's exactly the way people are. He didn't have to tell me planting corn would get corn. The parable is what? It's the word. Now let's see what it says. What do we do? Ask him saying, what's the parable be? And he said unto them, and is given... it is given to know, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. Now, we good old Baptists, we thought Jesus spoke in parables to make it simple. How much is that in the message now? How many of you thinking that Jesus spoke in parables to make it simple? He spoke in parables to hide it. That's what the Bible says. To hide it. Not to make it simple. That's what I said. You plant beans, you get beans. You don't have to make it no more simple than that. But he spoke in parables that he might hide it. That seeing you might see and hearing you might hear and understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Watch now. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The devil comes and takes the word out. All right. Now listen. They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these having no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, fall away. And they which fell upon thorns are they which when they heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they, which in the honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. And bring forth fruit unto patience. Simple parable. Matthew says, one of them says understand it. Matthew says understand, I think. And Mark says receive. Same parable. But listen, do you understand what he's describing? There's two things being described. I don't have enough to do it with two identicals, so we'll do that. There's two things being described. All right? Both of them is talking about the sowing of the seed. It's the same seed that falls into the ground and withers away because there's nothing there to quicken it. All right? The same seed is the seed that's in the thorns and things. That's people that what? Hears the word, and because, he said, the cares of life and things and all come in and take over, right? And what do you turn down? The word. Come on. What do you turn down? The word. But the last is what? The word that's sown into the heart and it's quickened or made alive. Do you understand what I'm getting? Both of them is the same anointing. What's the difference? What happened in that parable? The word was planted. You agree? You want to reread it? You want to read Matthew? You want to read Mark? You want to see that the word was planted? That's my point. Each one of the three gospels declares the word was planted. Why did it not mature? What went wrong? Come on, this was... I was thinking about it last night when Nathaniel was talking about it. Said, what was that when you said everybody preaching on David and there was, new preachers to come. You know what new preachers in the Baptist all preach? The seed, the word, the parables. That's what they preached. Come on. The parable's telling you what? Same seed. Everything's fine with it. No problems. What went wrong was when you don't water the seed. And thereby, it'll die and go away. Goes into the ground, it does this, it don't work. Right? But what's the difference in the anointing upon the genuine and the false? You ought to remember one thing, they're not false until you turn down the word. If you don't get that point, then drop it and forget it. Balaam was a prophet. You would listen to Brother Branham. He said Balaam was a prophet. He said to be a prophet in Israel is a wonderful thing. You realize they depended on Balaam as being their prophet until Elijah stood up. Balaam was not a false prophet until Elijah come up. Then when Balaam had to go against Elijah, he proved then that there's something wrong. He wanted the riches. He wanted the things. And he finally got them. The parable. The sowing of the seed. Goes into the ground. Some of it, you know what we're talking about. Some of it's in stony, it don't do no good. Some of us in this, it don't do no good. What's the problem? There wasn't nothing wrong with the word.
No. Amen.
There wasn't nothing wrong with the seed. It's what took place to the seed after it was planted. It's the same anointing. Same rain that raised up the wheat, raised up the beans, raised up the corn, raised up the weeds. It's the same seed. Because you're not talking about but one seed. What happened? The Holy Spirit comes down to quicken then. What was the difference in Peter and them and Caiaphas and them? When Caiaphas, with all of his paperwork, could have rolled it out a mile long and telling how great he was, how he'd stuck with the word and how everything was right. Nicodemus even goes to the Lord Jesus and said, we know that thou art a man sent from God. We know. Because no man can do these things unless God be with him. But what happened to him? His statement was good. He had a good confession. But when it was put on the line, he backed off and said, I don't understand. I don't understand. I got to go back to my mama and be born again? You understand what I'm trying to get you to look at? Same rain, same seed, different conditions. The different conditions is what made the problem. It took a true seed that was put in the ground, and the cares of life and things killed that seed out, took the life away from it. All right, when the Holy Ghost fell, what could it do? That seed rotten in the ground, when the rain fell, how could it quicken it? If it was in thorns and the cares of life and these things happen, how could it quicken it? The seed is right, the rain is right. But what went wrong? Judas Iscariot, Brother Branham said, was anointed. It's in the anointed ones. In it. He said he was anointed. He cast out devils, healed the sick, and all kind of things.
Right.
Judas was all right till he faced Jesus at the finish. Right. At the finish of the day, he showed his color.
Yep. Right.
The finish of the day, he went after the riches and the different things.
Right?
What happened to all that word that he had planted in him all them years? He wound up thinking it's no good. Right? And you know what? It wound up being no good for him. But you know what? Peter heard the same word that Judas did. James heard the same word that Judas did. Some of them took the word and held it, and some of them took the word and turned it down. When they turned down that word, in non-seed, the church age book says, in non-seed, there's nothing to quicken. What is non-seed? What is non-seed? We're supposed to be farmers. What is non-seed? Hybrid seed. It'll produce one time, that's it. It has nothing to carry it on. Non-seed means hybrid. Hybriding in this message is what?
Amen.
Adding anything or in the Bible or coming down through, adding any thoughts whatsoever to that Bible, it'll take away the true meaning of that word.
Right.
All right, when the Holy Ghost falls, what can it fall on? You understand?
Amen.
One took the word and held it. They cherished it. They couldn't understand. They even said, we don't understand. But it says, thou hast the words of eternal life. They went to the upper room. The Holy Ghost fell and quickened them. Judas didn't make it to that upper room experience of that. Now he was in the upper room where the supper was at. But he wasn't at the upper room when it comes to the Holy Ghost. And like I said last night, and I keep saying it over and over, you don't think the Bible said Jesus was seen of over 500 brethren after his resurrection. Now, Brother Aaron, I mean, you would be there and you would see him raise. And you'd know it was him. And you could tell, and you were just with the rest of them. And you knew it. And he says, now you go to the upper room and wait. Well, something went wrong with 380 people that had seen the Lord. Oh, if I could just see the Lord raise, I'd be all right. You're a lying through your teeth. You don't even understand. It ain't what you see. It's what you believe. It's what you can hold on to as your own belief. Not what you see. You can see a lot of things. Satan can impersonate anything that God has. But he can't be the Holy Ghost. Why did the 380 not make it to the upper room? And I'm as human as can be. I have never said they were all lost. Because it calls them brethren. They could have come on later and got the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying they didn't. But I'm just saying, why didn't they make it to the upper room? They didn't count it worthy. They didn't count it to be anything that he was telling them was going to take place, evidently. And they never made it. Whose fault was it? They had the seed. Right? They heard the word. But then when it come to the point of having to go do something, they walked away. What about it? You mean you could hear the word? You mean you can hear the word and turn and walk away? I pray your eyes will be open to the day that we're in. You ought to be able to say amen to that because you see it happening right among the people of the message. They're just walking away now. What is it? And don't tell me. Like I've always told you, I ain't against no brother and I ain't against none of them. But you tell me that a brother could preach in this message for 20, 30 years and he preached great things. But when he walked away from the message, what happened first? His wife cut her hair. Now, the Bible says not to do that. You don't have to have a prophet to tell you not to cut your hair. The Bible says don't do it. They went right back. The lice was. Now, I ain't saying they could have chopped it on and put it. The lice, they seen the guy with a beer in his hand. They're sending me a thing to where that I can hear it. They got a thing going now. There's a man in, I won't try to quote that part because of it, but I'll get to the thing. But there's a man got over 20,000 in a church. He's saying that he's come to take the place of Brother Branham. You want a little more? Now, this is what was told me, so I haven't viewed the tape. A great Catholic archbishop got up and announced the man as to be the one that would take Brother Branham's place. Mm-hmm. Come on now. How close is that? This Catholic gets out and says this man is... I get the tape. We'll try to pass it around and look at it. I'm just saying what was supposed to be sent to me. I don't really care. But for your benefit... See, how can you preach all the life that you preach for 30, 40 years and then turn around and turn against it? Do you realize, though, that that anointing is still on those people? You know those people that are turning against the message, the anointing is on them? I tried to explain, but didn't finish it last night, and I probably shouldn't even say something about it, but I mentioned it and dropped it. Brother Moat years ago told me something that it took a long time to get it down into me that I could understand. He said, Brother Dale, there's no difference between free love and legalism. I said, Brother Moat, I can't see that because legalism goes that away. Free love goes that away. You keep going into legalism, you'll wind up in free love. Because in legalism, you're trying your best to appease an angry God. Legalistic ideas and thoughts. You're trying to do it and you're saying, I know I'm saved because I done this. I spoke in tongues. I cried. I was there when God gave me this Holy Ghost. I know it. And see somebody going into free love, what do? It don't condemn me to do that. Sure, it ain't going to condemn them. They ain't got nothing to be condemned with. They ain't. Like Brother Run said, ain't snake, ain't got no helps. Right? Do you understand what I'm saying? Look what's happening. If you don't see it with one illustration, when that brother up there denounced Brother Branham's message, the first thing that happened, his wife started cutting her hair. Now, that's known. That ain't just talking about it. Well, you tell me that wouldn't. Okay, let's go. But you can be anointed with a genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost every day of your life and be lost.
Amen.
Like I told them last night, back in the 70s when these things was coming out, I well remember them. We had ministers' meetings on the cloud out in Arizona, whether it was right or what was wrong or what the dates was. That was in the 70s. We had ministers' meetings on these things. We had ministers' meetings on this right here because we didn't have all the abilities to search the message to be able to give quotes. And I remember they'd get up and they'd say, you could say, but brother, that can't be that you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every day of your life and die and go to hell because you can't do it. You can't take the Holy Ghost to hell. You can't put it in hell. You can't do it. So then there was no way to answer satisfactory until finally somebody come up and found, I believe it's in North at Knot, where Brother Brown said, you are anointed on your spirit. He said, you can be anointed on your spirit by the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now you've got the right answer.
Right.
It's on your spirit.
Right.
Is where the anointing comes.
Amen.
No, the Holy Ghost came into my soul. It's all right. There's a genuine. There's Peter. But did the... Now here's the word. You know, this represents the word. Peter took that word in and held it, or it held him, is a better way of saying it. All right? When the Holy Ghost fell, what happened? Peter was justified and sanctified, which means he was cleansed and set in order for service, and everything was perfectly right. The Word had done the cleansing. The Word had done it. Sanctify them through thy truth, because thy Word is truth. Is that Jesus, St. John 17? Peter and them, the Word had cleaned them. Like Brother Brown said about David. He said, look at David, what he had. He said, but all he needed was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What did Peter and them need then? There they were with a clean vessel full of Word. They didn't understand everything. They said they didn't. Jesus kept telling them, when the Holy Ghost comes, I'm going to send it in my name. It'll come. It'll quicken to you what's doing. Don't worry about it. Come on. When the Holy Ghost fell, it made that Word alive.
Amen.
There's your new birth. You say, what happened to this guy?
That's right.
We're going to change out and just use the one, okay? But that's the two guys. What happened? Peter and them got the Word.
Right.
and the Holy Ghost quickened it. You agree with that now? You go that way? What about the others? The cures of life. Are you watching? The things of the world. What happened? Satan entered in and got brought back into the man the seven times worse. Right? So after it was all finished, what are you going to quicken? There's nothing there. There was nothing in Judas to quicken. It had been taken out. It was there. It was there. Thank you, brother. It was there in both of them. But the cares of life and the things took it out. Took out what? The Word. Are you listening to somebody interpreted false word? And it took out that word. And when you do, what could you quicken? There's nothing in the vessel to quicken. The anointing can strike, but it can't go in and do anything. It can't quicken a Trinity. Oh, I tell you what now, that Trinity, when it was revealed to me. You ever heard people say that? I've heard people in this message say that. They say, well, boy, that two soul, that two lords, them things, man, when that was revealed to me, I was waiting on that two-soul doctrine to come out. I've heard that statement made. I said, how in the world can you be waiting on something that ain't true? Because they can't be two lords. They can't be two souls. The two-soul doctrine was what? God give you a soul, Satan give you a soul. I challenge that on the basis of God's word and the prophet's message. Show me where Satan could ever give you anything other than twisting, turning. He can't give you. He can't create.
That's right. Amen.
But you see? When that Holy Ghost fell, I shouted, I cried, I done everything. Yeah, I know now, last week I had a little problem and I went out and done something wrong, but I still think I'm saved. I don't think I sinned enough to be lost. See, what are you doing? You're propping up yourself. Right? But I tell you what, that's what I was trying to get across last time I spoke, and I tried to get it across last night. You are a body, spirit, and soul. It doesn't matter what you do about the names of these things. Make sure you keep them in three lines. One line being a body, the next line being, you can call it spirit or soul, either one, it doesn't matter to me, but make sure you give it memory, reason, conscious affections. Then the center man, you give that either faith or doubt. Now you're writing 50, 60, and on when the prophet ended it all up, and he didn't have to go and preach a long sermon about how in his early ministry he said body, soul, spirit. Then in the ministry of 65, right in 64, he taught body, spirit, and soul. But see, if he hadn't have taught it that way, the Bible would have been incorrect. Because the Bible said it divides the difference.
Right, right.
And he said, because of the opening of these things, we can understand.
Amen.
Do you realize what I'm getting at? Do you realize that this person out here, he don't amount to a thing. That's your body. All he's doing is just something you're living in.
Right.
Well, my body lusts it. Your body can't lust.
Nope.
Now, I'm going to quote, I'll give you, there's one in here where Brother Ryan said, you don't even think with your body.
Right.
He said, you think with your spirit.
Yep. Right.
As a man thinketh in his heart.
Right.
Not in his thumping gizzard, nor his natural heart, you know, or the brain.
Right.
It's not, it's that spirit in you that motivates you and makes
right.
you to think.
Right.
Right? That's the difference, you and a dog. Huh? But see, I'm asking you a question. They said, Brother Branham said, do Christians sin? He said, yes. Brother Branham said, do you backslide? He said, every day. Well, I don't know whether, I don't know, I'm so confused with whether it's soul or spirit or whatever. I'm confused. Well, just get out the confusion and get the line up. Number one, you got five senses of the body. Number two, you got five senses of the second realm. Number three, you got one sense. Faith or doubt. Just do it that way and handle it and forget it. Because I'm asking you the simple question. How does a Christian sin? When the Bible said he that sinneth is lost. Dead. Yet the prophet said you sin every day. Come on, church. We taught this in the Baptist church. You don't like me because of that. But I remember in the Baptist church where we was taking, where we said, well, what it is we're not really going out in Atlantisly sin. I wish Brother Dick was here. He'd explain it to you better than I can. We're not going out in Atlantisly sin. We just do little bitty things. Well, according to my Bible, there ain't no big sin and there ain't no little sin. They sin. Why would a prophet say you sin? If you sin in your soul, you're lost.
Amen. That's right.
If you sin in that sinner realm, whatever you want to call it, you're lost.
That's right.
But if you can sin in that spirit realm of reason and memory, conscience, and thing, then you're not lost.
Amen.
And your soul will correct you.
Amen.
And bring you back into line.
Amen.
And bring it to you and show that you're wrong.
Amen.
That's what I've tried to explain. 40 years. It don't bother you? It don't bother you for your prophet to say that you sin every day? Well, Brother Brandon, where do I sin?
Yep.
What hopes do I have? And I quoted it wrong last night. Brother Brandon said that Jesus was tempted of women. I caught it in the lustful part and corrected it down there, but I'm making sure if anybody hears that or anything, that they'll know what I was saying. Brother Branham said Jesus was tempted. Where was he tempted? My Bible says you can't tempt God. So it had to be in Jesus' spirit realm. Not his soul, because your body can't sin. Well, I just wish I'd get this old body. Don't worry about that old body.
Amen. That's right.
That's why you don't understand the way I preach. I don't preach, quit this, quit that, do this and do that, and it makes you saved. I've never taught nothing like that and never will because it's not scriptural.
Amen. Right.
It's when you let God take out these things.
Amen.
Right. You let him come in and take away the need, the desires, the things in you. Let him do it.
Because
right. You can't quit it. You get rid of it today, tomorrow's another one.
Right.
Quick as you get that demon out, there's another one coming back.
Yep.
Trying to condemn you.
Right. That's right.
So, all right. Do we believe the prophet? He said we sin every day.
Amen.
So where do you sin?
That's right.
Well, we don't need to know because we're not prophets. Garbage can to you and your thinking. Because that's exactly what you're doing. You're taking out things that could be quickened. You're letting those things be taken out of you by some demon. And when you wind up with an empty vessel trying to say it's full. Oh, I know my vessel is empty because I remember when I was clean. Amen. But that ain't all of it. You got to put something in.
Amen.
Put the word in and let it take it out.
Amen.
Sanctification and not you quit smoking, drinking, gambling, and all. That's not sanctification. That's what we teach is sanctification. Sanctification is the unclean spirit going out of you. That's what Jesus taught. Sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit. Can I quote it that way? Brother Brown said, justification is a work of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit. But the baptism is the Holy Spirit.
Right.
See? That's why you can be justified and sanctified and you're still lost.
Amen.
The anointing is no different in a bride, person that becomes a bride, or a sinner that's lost. The anointing comes across to try to quicken what you got.
Right.
That's the purpose of the anointing. What's the rain for? Well, the rain's for making mud holes in my yard. I don't mind. Oh, that's about as good as we can go. What is the rain for? To make whatever you have planted come forth alive. And that's exactly what the preaching of the word does. It does that. Brother Branham said, preachers, what do? He said, a preacher does only one thing. He said he breaks the spell that Satan has over the people's eyes to where God can speak straight to the people. Now you need that quote. That's identical. A preacher, all I do is have a gift to be able to do one or the other. I can stand right here and make you mad as a hornet. Or I can stand right here and make you shout. But I can take my gift and sell ice cream to an Eskimo. Right? See, you don't understand gifts. Gifts are eternal. Now, I'm talking about fivefold ministry gifts. Now, gifts of like speaking in tongues, shouting, that's in the body of Christ. Fivefold ministry, the gifts. You know that Brother Branham said the Baptist, well, let's go. Come on. What time we got? All right. That's the church. That's the church. What's the one? Come on, I'm trying to find it. Okay. Go to number 8. Let's read fast. I got the baptism. See, you saying that. I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to heaven. That don't mean one thing that you're going to heaven. No, sir. You can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every hour in your life and still be lost and go to hell. The Bible says so. So now where's the baptism of the Holy Ghost do? What does it do? It strikes that second rim. I tried to explain it. You've done this out here, justification, sanctification, cleanse the vessel, and you took the word and you held it. And when you hold it, then the Holy Ghost can come and quicken what you got in there. But you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, you know what I'm saying. We'll get to it in a minute. He said, that's on your spirit.
That's right.
All right. Go ahead to the next one. Still be lost. But I just don't understand how you can have... It's the baptism on your spirit. It's not coming into your soul. It quickens what you got in your soul. Then that way it can't quicken two souls, two lords, all these doctrines in the message. It can't quicken the Trinity. It can't do those things because it's not part of the Word. Come on. Trying to do God a service without His will. Now notice in this, now David thought he had everything in order and he was inspired. See how the Holy Spirit can anoint a man? But it's got to be in the order of the anointing. I wish you'd write that down. Study on that. It's got to be in the order of the anointing. The Holy Ghost fell on Azusa Street. The Bible says that in the last days I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Did it fall on Azusa Street around the world? No. It fell on those that were sitting in Azusa Street. Praying for God to come and do something. It didn't do it on 10th Street or 15th Street. It done it on whatever the street was. It went just to say that he poured out his spirit on all flesh don't mean it poured out on everybody in the world. You got to get in a religious order. Come on. See how the Holy Spirit can anoint a man? But it's got to be in the order of the anointing. The outside spirit can be anointed with the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, and the soul as dark as pitch. Now, where did he say you're anointed by the Spirit? On your spirit. anointed with the Holy Spirit. The outside spirit can be anointed with the Holy Spirit. The soul is dark as the cucumber grows on the same water that the bill. But the soul of it is cucumber. Raising on it, we're getting false teachers can rise, teaching all kind of Trinitarianism and everything else, and be anointed with the Holy Ghost and perform just as many miracles as the true gospel can. But the word here, that's what it does. See what I mean? Now, it's all right to teach this, I guess. He said, I'm not in a denomination. This was is out in the world, okay? Listen, all right, what is it? Go ahead to what was that, 9? Or okay, go into 10. I'm going to give you, now this is modern events made clear by prophecy. Now we found out today that many people just can't believe it. Ever spirit-filled people, even spirit-filled people. I'm going to give you one that'll choke you. The baptism of the Holy Ghost don't mean you're going in. Not at all. Not on that. Don't have anything to do with your soul. Did he say it? How many times have I told you you're not born again in your body? You're not born again in your spirit. You're only born again in your soul. You don't need the new birth. It would be good to have it, but it doesn't work. Don't have anything to do with the soul. That's the baptism. Now the baptism, watch one in just a minute, where Brother Brown says the baptism of the Holy Ghost is just a temporal gift. Okay. Don't have anything to do with it. That's the baptism. See, here's the inside soul in here that has to come from God. But then on the outside of you, you have five senses and five inlets in your contact, your earthly home. The inside, you have a spirit in there. You have five outlets, your conscience and love and so forth, five outlets to that spirit. Remember, in that spirit, you can be baptized with the genuine Spirit of God and still be lost. In that spirit.
Amen.
You can't be baptized in your soul and be lost.
Amen.
So it ought to be realizing what's happening. Something that spirit realm is where it's all at.
Amen.
Go ahead to the next one. Let's see, that would have been go to number 11. I got the baptism, the Holy Spirit. That still has nothing to do with it. That's just a temporal gift for you. Baptism on your spirit is just a temporal gift. Temporal means a temporary. You realize that soul that you have can be eternal. That spirit is not eternal. I don't care how much it's anointed, it's not eternal. That body is not eternal. What do we need? We need a change of this body and a spirit change, but the soul, we don't need nothing to it other than the point of letting the word come in us and go back out. Because if your soul is born again, it's eternal. So what's he saying? The baptism on your spirit, it's just a temporal gift. The real gift is your soul and down in there, see, that was born of God and that controls the whole thing to the Word of God and the will of God, and there you grow up. You say, well, I've blown. Don't have one thing to do with it. That if you don't line up with that Word, there's something wrong. See, you see, your real father ain't God. Because that real start in your soul, before there was even a spirit. Come on. Remember, all souls are mine. There ain't no such thing as your soul belonging to the devil. Devil can't give you a soul. The Bible said all souls are mine. But it also says that soul that sinneth shall die.
Amen.
It never says the spirit that sinneth shall die.
No.
It says the soul that's... Why? Because you can't do it. Why? Before there was even a spirit. So your soul was first. Go back to Genesis 1:1 now. Right? Let us make man in our own image. What did he make? Made a soul. Right? Come on. That soul didn't come from God, see? Let's read it. Because that real start in your soul, before there even was a spirit, it was your soul. That soul didn't come from God. Then it wasn't a germ of God to begin with. You're deceived. You're in a patch of weeds and bearing the world's record of the weeds coming forth. Acting like the world, loving the world, is because the love of God is not in you. And now there'll be false anointed ones in the last days, not Jesus's. They wouldn't stand for that. They're anointed with the Spirit to do the signs and wonders that Christ did, but won't line up with his word. You want to do like, who was it, Benny Hinn, that walked out on the earth and turned and walked back? Anybody want to try? I ain't going to. Because I know if I step off here, I'm going to hit the... Now, God tells me to, I'll do the best I can. I'll step out because I ain't going to argue with him. But I'm just trying to get a point to you. What about people that can do all kind of things like that? You realize that Janice and Jambres could do everything Moses did, bring everything Moses brought. The one thing they couldn't do was take away their plagues. Read your Bible. They could bring them, but they couldn't take them away. Because right? That would represent divine healing. I believe that's right the way the prophet said. Okay, let's see. Where do we get? Temporal gift. All right. Go ahead to number 11. Excuse me. I better get my numbers right. I'm still on number 11. But we done read that. So go to 12. Leave it on 12. That's fine. You say, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That don't mean that you're saved. Not by a long ways. Well, Brother Dale, you're confusing me. I ain't confusing you. You're the prophet. Now, blame him for confusing you. And have I become your enemy because I found it? I mean, you're mad at me because I'm saying that you're lost? Brother Branham's the one saying it. I'm just reading. Well, you're implying it's me. That's good. You say, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That don't mean that you're saved, not by a long ways. Look at here. You are a Trinitarian or triune being. You are inside this little fellow here is the soul. The next is a spirit. Now, he's inside coming out, right? And the next is a body. Now, you've got five senses in this body to contact your earthly home. They don't contact the rest of it. You got five senses of the spirit here of love and remnant and so forth like that. But in here is where you live. That's what you are. The soul. What are you? And God breathed into the nostrils of Adam and he became a living soul. Brother Brown said he had eternal life. Now you go argue with that. I got the quote, so he said that he had eternal life. Well, you know, if he had eternal life, Eve must have got it too, because she had the same soul. Okay, you get into that. You say, well, you're confusing that much more. Good. Maybe you'll go home and study. All right, let's see what else we got. That's number 13. Go to that. You're in a cycle of three, but you're one person, like Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Cycle of three, but one person. Three attributes of the same God, fatherhood. Three offices like fatherhood, sonship, and Holy Ghost. And you are body, spirit, and soul. Now, the outside body has five inlets to it to contact your earthly home. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. The inside, which is a spirit, it has five senses, conscience, and love, and so forth. But the inside of that, the soul has but one thing. All right, now watch. That's where you live. But look, the Spirit can come out here and anoint you to do certain things. And you do it. But that don't mean you're saved. Think of it. Caiaphas prophesied. Judas cast out devils. See, the Spirit anointed him. This rain falls on the just and the unjust. And the Spirit can actually make witness of it, and still it isn't so. Because if that soul hasn't come from God, it can make all the impersonations out there, but it cannot be real. You can act healing, you can act you can act like you receive Christ. Christians can act like, you know, they're Christians and acting ever and so good at it, but that don't mean that you're saved. That's exactly right. The Spirit can be there, the real, genuine Spirit. The Holy Spirit can anoint you. That still don't mean you're saved. It's that inside soul that never dies. It's got eternal life. Right. What about it? All right, let's go on to the next one. What's the next one? 14? Or did we read it? Right. Is that the one we just read?
No.
Okay. Now, inside of that is a spirit, which you become when you're born into the earth, and the breath of life is breathing to you. That spirit is of a worldly nature because it was not given from God. Listen. But it was given, permitted by God. Why? Because it wasn't eternal. A baby's not eternal. It doesn't have an eternal body, spirit, and soul. So a spirit is permitted of God. Right? But it was given, permitted. Now you got that? Every child that's born into the world, it's born in sin, shaping in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. That's right. So that person inside there is a sinner to begin with.
Amen.
But now, it's got the five inlets. It's got the thing. First, I know, it's thought, conscience, and love, choice, and reason. There is five inlets to the spirit. You can't think with your body. You have to think with your spirit. You can't have conscience in your body. It has no mental faculties at all. Your body doesn't. So you have to think with your spirit. You have to reason. You can't reason with your physical being. Because reason doesn't see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. Reason is what you can make in your mind. If you're asleep or if you're out, your body is lying there dead. But your spirit can still reason. There is five senses that controls the inside man. That now, to the last man, which is a soul, there is only one sense that controls that. And that is free moral agency. What are you getting at? What is the new birth? What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? The prophet says you can have it every day of your life and still be lost.
Right.
What is the new birth? It's the birth of the Word.
Amen.
The Word is made alive in your soul.
That's right.
Then works back out through your spirit and things. Where are we at? Go ahead. All right. And now the reason that people today, and don't forget this now, and you'll see what the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost is. Now, let's read it. Now, people can live in the Spirit. They can dance in the Spirit. They can shout in the Spirit. They go to church in the Spirit. And they can absolutely have the real Spirit of God anointing on that Spirit, but still be lost and just as devil-possessed as they can be without that Spirit. Well, Brother Dale, you just ain't giving me no hope. I thought you were supposed to know the truth and it's supposed to set you free.
Amen.
Okay, where did we get to? What's the next one? Number 15, okay. That's a typos in the church. What's he getting to Sunday next? How many remembers the message? Their spirits are anointed in this second realm.
Right. That's right.
What's the second realm? Memory, reason, conscience, affections. That's where the spirit is anointing from. All right, go ahead to the next. You might dance in the spirit. You might still speak with tongues. And them things are fine. But that's not it yet. No, sir. Remember, the Bible said, in the last days there shall come false Christ, not false Jesus. They won't stand for that, false anointed ones. They're absolutely anointed with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, and still false. There's two. There's a third people, three. There's three people of you. The outside of it is the body. You got five senses. You can contact your earthly home with it. The inside is a spirit. There's five senses there. Love and conscience and so forth. You contact, but the inside of that is the soul. See, what is that? The inside of that seed is a nature, and that nature displays itself. It can stand in the same field right there with the weed. The weed and the wheat stand together rejoicing just as much. Its head is down. It's starving for a drink. When a rain comes, the cocoa can shout just as loud as the wheat can, but by their fruits you shall know them. What do we got? Let's see if I can read two more. All right, go ahead to the next one. Should be 18 or what is it, 17. From Christ revealed in his own word. And last Sunday when we was going into these cycles about how that the five senses on the outer rim, that's the inlet, five senses to the body. There's only one way you can get into the body. That's by these five senses. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. See, faith comes by hearing. You got to hear it first. No other way to contact the body. On the inside of that man is a man called spirit. And he has five senses, think, thought, and love, and conscience, and all so forth. Now, you can't think with your body. You think with your mind. And in there is where the many of Christians only stop. They can just, like the corn in the field and the weed in the field, they can be anointed with the same Holy Spirit that the real believer is anointed with. But down on the inside of that, next rim, the third rim, is the soul, and that's predestinated by God. And there's where the real seed germ lays, is in there. Right? Today, so confused about the evidence of the Holy Ghost and so forth. Satan can impersonate any kind of a gift that God has, but he cannot bring that word word by word. Now, how do you know? It's whether or not that spirit in you agrees with the word. You know, you're sitting there. I'm going to illustrate it now. So you're sitting there saying, I know you're reading what the prophet says, but I don't believe it. Now, what gives you that right? If I said it, you have a right to argue. But if I read it, well, you just read part of it. Come on. You got it. Come on. Come on up here. Come up here and show me where that I just handpicked stuff. That's why I wanted it all to be given to you. Because you can know at least this. This was 1978 or 9. I've been teaching this over 40 years. I don't have to worry. Not exalted, just telling the God's honest truth. Because when God showed it to me, he showed me what it was. That anointing on your spirit. But it doesn't mean you're a Christian. You can dance and shout, it's on the inside. Listen. What is the true sign that you're a Christian? You can give your body to be burned. You can do all kinds of things. Do everything. What's the sign? The prophet said whether or not you're sighing and crying for the abominations done in the city. That's what I said. When the brother that we own all stepped down and parts of what he's done, that's his business. But I haven't come here and lambasted him at all. But I've prayed for him.
Amen.
Have you?
Amen.
Have you really prayed for him?
Amen.
You have no right to condemn him until you first pray for him.
Amen.
Now that's Brother Dale. I'm not quoting Jesus or Brother Branham. That's the way I live. I have no right to condemn anybody that I haven't prayed for him first.
Amen. Right?
Amen. So what is it? Simple thing of the Bible. There's Peter and them, the disciples. Jesus kept pouring the word in. Then what had happened when the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, it didn't have to go down in here and get all this and stir it up. It just come right across it. Just like rain.
Amen.
and dropped in and says, it's alive. But what happened to those that didn't? What happened to Caiaphas when the Holy Ghost fell? He had nothing for it to fall on. God can't quicken word that's not genuine. He can't quicken a Trinity. Because there's no such thing. It can't be done. See why anointed ones, the only way you can understand it is you've got to bring them all to the same place and let that anointing be at the same place. But what it does, you took the word and held it, it'll quicken that word. But if we take the word and get our own ideas and thoughts, he can't quicken that. It's our responsibility to study the word and let the word be in the field. That's just like standing out in your garden and saying, Lord, I'm glad my garden is coming up. And I walk up, I say, what you got? Well, I didn't plant nothing, but it's coming up.
Yep.
I say, what?
Yeah.
Can't you see my beans and corn and stuff? 3 years later, we're still looking at the same beans and corn. It ain't working. That don't do it. The same word comes to the all people. There ain't but one gospel. It comes to all people. But it's what we do with it. Let's stand. Take these home with you. If you got any questions, let me know later. We'll try our best to cover it. I've never done this. Sorry, we don't have no, we don't have no music or nothing. We just sing a song of I Love Him, and then if anybody has a need, the altar's open. So I love him. If you have a need, come and let's see. Well, Brother Dale, what do you believe the new birth is? It's the birth of the word that I've took. And according to the prophet, each one of these is a birth. So it don't end just by you getting a new birth. It just begins. That's one reason I know what I know. Because what he told me years ago, I can stand right now and say, thank you, Lord. Even the personal things. When he told me that most of the people in the end time would die and go by the grave, the followers of this message. I said that 40 years ago, and I don't have to back up. But in no way was I ever references to anybody that would be lost. But see, we don't want it that way. Why? Why can't you believe it that way? When he speaks to you, what are you afraid of? He told me years ago, he said, there'll be a lot of people come from Athens to Lula. There's a lot of you standing here. You ought to say, Brother Dale, even if you're false and everything in the world wrong, at least you said what I would do. And I am now doing it. What about it? Father, we thank you for today and we ask you to just be with us. Guide us and direct us in your love, Lord. We ask you to just forgive us when we fail you in things that we bring forth in our own thoughts and ideas. Forgive us. Bring it out in your own self. Just bless us as we go eat a natural meal. Bring us back this afternoon. And Lord, for the children to sing and worship about you. And then for Brother Nathaniel to bring the evening message to us. Lord, we just thank you for these young ones that are coming along that can take this message and carry it on. Because we're getting older. We're dying away. We're all passing on. But yet you have never left us without anything. You've always been there when we had need of. And answered all of our questions. We love you and we thank you. Guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.